Good morning, and welcome to worship at First United Methodist Church. What a joy it is for us to gather as a community of faith this day. As you came in, I hope you picked up your weekly sheet. In it, you will find out more information about what's happening here at First United Methodist, including next week, Palm Sunday. There will be a bake sale hosted by the United Women of Faith. They need bakers and volunteers to assist with that. And if you are able to do so, please see Dolores Abney after the service. Thank you. Also, you will see information about ordering an Easter lily for Easter and other events coming up toward Holy Week. This week, as you check your mail, you may find information about the upcoming Alleluia offering. The Alleluia offering is one of the traditions here at First United Methodist Church. It's a special offering that was started years ago to challenge members to tithe during Holy Week. A tithe is a biblical concept with its roots in Malachi 3:10. The challenge may seem daunting, especially if you do not proportionally give, but it's the first step in biblical generosity. Special offering is received at Easter above and beyond typical giving to fund special projects here at First United Methodist. Those projects for this year including funding the retreat for our confirmands. We have 15 confirmands and they will be going on retreat this summer to grow together and learn about Jesus. Also, we will be investing in our worship experience through our sound system. And any gifts above and beyond these two areas will support new ministries through missions and inviting ministries. You should receive the information in the mail this week, and if not, please look in the church newsletter. Cards and information will also be available in the sanctuary entrances next week. This gift will be returned at Easter, either in person, through secure e-giving, through our website, or Venmo. If you have any questions, please see a member of the First United Methodist Church staff. Also, as you came in your worship bulletin, you will find the brackets for March Madness. March Madness has not begun with college basketball, but we're almost finished here at First United Methodist Church. You will see the top four worship hymns that are still remaining. If you'll vote for your favorite two, those top four will be part of a sermon series this summer, and now we're voting to see what the order will be in that series. So please take a moment, fill out your bracket, place it in the offering plate later in the service. Let us prepare ourselves for worship with a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, we join in worship this Lenten season to seek your mercy and love. Create in us a clean heart, forgive our sins, help us to faithfully serve you. Amen. Let us remain standing as we affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended to heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May be seated. And as we prepare for our morning offering, I want to thank you for your continued giving to First United Methodist Church. Your generosity makes it possible to provide worship experiences throughout this holy season of Lent, including the upcoming Holy Week services and Maundy Thursday worship. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as your word reminds us, you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. And of these good gifts, we return to you. We ask your blessings upon the gifts, the giver, and all the ministry which these gifts support, so that all may know your love and your grace. Amen. If the ushers will come forward, we will worship God with our morning offering. You may be seated. As we move to our time of pastoral prayer today, I would like to extend sympathy to the family of Joe Pritchard. Joe's mother, Martha, died this past week. Her services were yesterday. I also want to offer a word of praise and celebration for yesterday's egg hunt here at the church. Thank you to Catherine and her team of volunteers and all who participated to make yesterday such a wonderful time of celebration and success. I also ask this week, as you move through your time of personal prayer, that you remember our confirmands. The journey for them continues as we move toward Confirmation Sunday, which will be May the 19th, and we will remember them all by name as we pray together in our pastoral prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you keep striving to gain our attention so that we might realize your unending love. We especially thank you for this in the lives of our confirmation students. We just ask that you be with them, those who lead and those who mentor them, in this special time of their lives as they learn more about the church and hear more of your love and grace. So we ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit on Lydia, Miko, Merritt, Anna Kate, Kennedy, Jade, Maggie, Iris, Ava, Jace, Maddie, Sarah, Sarah Kate, Emily, and Haley. And that you pour out your Holy Spirit and grace upon us. We come to you this day with many needs in our lives, some spoken and some that we carry heavily on our hearts. God, may your healing spirit and guidance be with us and with the needs of our lives, with our friends and neighbors who are suffering, with this church, with the needs of our community, our nation, and our world. Forgive us our sins. Help us draw closer to you so that we may be more like you. This we pray in the name of the one who taught his disciples to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Children, you are dismissed to Children's Church with Miss Catherine.
Thank you.
Sermon series based on the windows. I want to say a word of thanks to Kathleen for filling in for JT today. We are so blessed with a wonderful choir director and musicians and a talented choir that leads us in worship every week. Thank you. So this Sunday, we move to our next window in the series, which is Christ knocking at the door. This particular window is not found in our sanctuary, but is in the prayer room on the courtyard side of the sanctuary. The door's open, so I hope you take a moment and go and see the window for yourself after worship. This window was originally installed in a prayer room just off the narthex in 1945. But with architectural changes in the sanctuary in 1955, the window was moved to the current prayer room. Christ knocking at the door was given in memory of William Burton Small and Rebecca Harbor Small by Marvin Brindley Small and Lucille Stringer Small. Marvin Small joined the church in 1894. And was treasurer of the men's Bible class for 42 years. He was an advocate of high quality church music and offered strong support for his pastors. This window was inspired by a well-known painting called The Light of the World by William Holman Hunt, which depicts Christ knocking. While many have interpreted the painting to be Christ knocking at a human heart for salvation, actually Hunt intended it to be Christ knocking at an obstinate mind. If you look closely at the painting and the window, you will find the outside knob is missing, and it must be opened to Jesus from the inside. The original painting can be found at St. Paul's Cathedral in London. Amazingly, during the bombing raids of World War II in London, this painting survived unharmed. And now to the scripture which inspired the window. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verse 20. Revelation 3, verse 20. Hear God's word. Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you, and you with me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we look to your word and this beautiful piece of art, I pray that the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth be pleasing and acceptable unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the Sunday school class of my childhood, there were two pieces of art which caused me tremendous theological trauma. The first piece of art was from a child's storybook, an illustration in that book. And the illustration happened to be of Noah and the ark. This was not a sweet mural that you find in babies' nurseries today. Rather, this was something kind of dark. It was an illustration of those who had been locked out of the ark, banging on the side of the ark for their lives as they were about to drown. Yes, just like the horror on your face, I think back to that illustration and wonder who thought it would be such a good idea to put an illustration like that in a children's Bible. I don't know. The other piece of art happens to be a print of the window that you find in our prayer room. Jesus standing at the door knocking. Now you may wonder, why did that cause you theological trauma, Sherry? Well, you see, there's nothing wrong with Jesus standing at the door knocking. That's a beautiful thing that Jesus wants a relationship with all of us and wants to come in our lives. For me, though, the trauma occurred because I thought, what if I did not hear Jesus knocking? What if Jesus were like an impatient salesman who knocked at the door, and if there were no response, he just moved on to the next door to knock on? I was afraid that I would get busy or not pay attention, and I would somehow miss Jesus's knocking. Now, maybe this was growing up in a church where we sang, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior," regularly. And if you know, you know. And if not, look in your hymnal. The words are there. And by the way, that is my least favorite song in the hymnal because it's just theologically not good. Anyway, so maybe I was afraid of Jesus passing me by. So I would pray as a child, "Jesus, if you are knocking on the door to my heart, please let me hear you." Now in adulthood, I realized that that was an unfounded fear. Of course Jesus is going to keep knocking, and of course Jesus is there as a part of our lives even before we realize he is there. And I also realized that the scripture is a totally different context than what I had in my mind as a small child. The scripture comes from one of the warnings to the seven early churches, which we find in the book of Revelation. This is a warning to Laodicea. Laodicea is known as the lukewarm church. They were indifferent, neither on fire or cold for the Lord. In fact, Scripture says that Jesus said, I want to spit you out like a drink that is unappealing, because they were neither cold or hot. The church would say that they were wealthy and needed nothing. They were self-sufficient. They had it all handled. They didn't need Jesus. They had everything that they would need. They did not need refining, holiness, or righteousness. But they did not have the ability to see their true state. The church needed to repent of their arrogance, and Jesus was trying to get their attention. Thus, listen. I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice, open the door, and I will come in and eat with you and you with me. These words were Jesus trying to get the attention of that early church. Now, Laodicea was located about 100 miles from Ephesus. They were a very wealthy center of commerce. Now, while wealth can be a blessing, wealth was their downfall. They were comfortable. They had all they needed, and they didn't think they needed Jesus. While the church was rich, they needed Jesus. They were morally and spiritually poor. They were self-reliant. Remember, they were lukewarm. Jesus didn't condemn them for being evil or morally bankrupt. He just said they were neither hot nor cold. They were not on fire for the Lord, but they weren't really astray. They just were. And Jesus wanted more for them. In adulthood, I've come to realize that Jesus trying to get our attention in these lukewarm states is very important. Just as important as Jesus trying to get our attention throughout our lives at any state in our lives. And I would believe that especially today. Have we shut Jesus out from our lives because we believe we are self-sufficient? Have we become indifferent? Do we fail to hear Jesus knocking in our spiritual walk, in our daily routine, centering our lives on the world rather than our need for Christ? The good news for all of us is that Jesus is a part of our lives and is there knocking even before we realize it. Even as a young child, Jesus is there. He loves us. In John's first letter, we read that this is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his son as the atoning sacrifice for our sin. God loved us first. He loved us and loves us with great pursuing love. He woos us. He loves us. He cares for us. He wants to be in relationship with us, and he wants more for us. And he's going to keep knocking. Jesus is going to keep knocking to be in relationship with us and to grow in relationship with us. And with that interpretation from the window, when you are ready, Jesus is there. You let him in your life and he will keep knocking. Where I believe the scripture reading and the message for many of us to remember as followers of Christ is that when we shut the door to Christ, he's going to keep knocking. In the past few weeks, I've discovered a new friend at my apartment. It's a bird, Mr. Woodpecker. And every morning when I wake up, I hear Mr. Woodpecker. He's there. Knock, 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 knock. Every afternoon when I come back, he's not there. And I wonder if he'll be back the next day. And you know what? Mr. Woodpecker's back the next morning, and I hear him. He is always at his job, and he never gives up. But isn't that just like Jesus? He keeps knocking too, not just with one and done, but just like with the Laodiceans, Jesus is there. He is standing at the door knocking, and he wants to come in. He initially gets our attention to make a commitment to him, but then he gets our attention because he wants us to follow with all areas of our life. He gets our attention to stay connected with him. When we try to close him out, when we are indifferent, when we don't see the need for him, he keeps knocking and knocking and knocking. Just like Mr. Woodpecker every morning, he greets me and says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Now, back to Mr. Woodpecker. I shared with you that he greets me every morning. Now, this isn't something that jolts me awake in the morning. I sleep with a noisemaker, so it's kind of like I gently hear him knocking. But as my morning goes on, as I turn on the TV or listen to a podcast or brush my teeth or hop in the shower or make coffee, I don't notice Mr. Woodpecker anymore. I get busy with my routine and I tune him out. I don't know he's there, but he is there. He keeps knocking and knocking. Once I go about my business, I don't really notice him. I become distracted. When I first wake up, I do, but then he is crowded out by the noise of the day. For us, it may be the same with Jesus. We have the literal noise of the world, social media, TV, influences around us. That noise crowds out Jesus' presence in our lives. And then you throw into that busyness, all that we have to get done, our to-do list, our routine, work, school, all those things, and they come together to crowd out Jesus. The noise of life prevents us from hearing his knocking. We may get so focused on what is next or what we have to do or the noise around us that we fail to hear Christ. I recently heard an illustration out of a podcast that has stuck with me. Let's say there are two radio stations that play the exact same song at the exact same time. Which radio station will you hear? Of course, it's going to be the radio station that you're tuned into. We hear what we are tuned into. So if we're listening for Christ, we will hear Christ. We hear what we are intentionally listening for. So take time this week to be quiet and listen for Jesus. Is he trying to get your attention? Is he wanting you to let him in? Pause the noise that is filling your world. Pause your schedule that keeps you going to listen. See what Jesus is saying. Hear Jesus through the ways that you typically hear him, such as prayer or scripture reading, devotion, spending time in nature. Just take some time to listen. Just as we are different people in Christ, so Jesus uses different ways to get our attention. We hear him knocking in different ways. Just start somewhere and listen. Also, remember that one of the greatest blessings in our lives is Sabbath. Now, we may think of Sabbath as Sunday, coming to church, but Sabbath is also a disruption of our routine. It's an opportunity to leave work, the list, our to-dos behind, to disrupt our routine, to be playful, to enjoy life, to sit in silence, to hear Christ. Jesus wants to get our attention, and Sabbath is a great opportunity for him to speak to us. It's a chance for Jesus to get our attention and guide us in our life of discipleship. Now, for the Laodiceans, wealth was the background noise that disrupted their relationship with Christ. They were very comfortable. All was with ease. They were neither hot nor cold. They just were. They were satisfied. It's nice to be satisfied. It's nice to be lukewarm. After all, lukewarm is easy. Sometimes we don't want to get heated up or cooled down. Sometimes it's easier just to say, Jesus, I hear you knocking, but I'm not sure I want to let you in. But Jesus keeps knocking because he wants the best for us. He wants us to know the best of him and for him, to grow as his disciples. After all, we read in the Gospel of John that Jesus came so that we might have an abundant life. He is trying to get our attention for that abundant life. He doesn't want us to be comfortable and lukewarm. He wants us to be warm and uncomfortable for him, knowing that joy-filled, abundant life. As I told you about Mr. Woodpecker, some of you may be alarmed. You are probably thinking to yourself, Sherry, you need to do something about that woodpecker, because if he keeps on, you are going to end up with a hole in the building, insects, decay, or some animal. And this may be true. If I ignore the woodpecker's knocking, something bad can come. It's better if I pay attention. And so it is our life with Christ. Knocking is good news. Jesus wants our attention for more. He wants to move us, as I said moments ago, from that lukewarm status. He wants to move us to followers. He keeps knocking because he wants us to let him in, to enrich our lives so that we might experience the fullness of the Lord. Jesus loves you that much. It isn't that he knocks one time and leaves us alone. He keeps knocking so we can grow and know his love and grace. He keeps knocking so we might experience new adventures with him. He keeps knocking so we will grow in faith. Jesus is knocking. This is not something scary of childhood fears, but the potential for something great. Jesus wants to come in to get your attention, to lead you toward more. And maybe that is why the window is in the prayer room. After all, I found in my life that Jesus most gets my attention in a life of prayer. When I spend time with him in prayer, that's when I hear him knock and I hear those messages for my life. So maybe that's why he is in the prayer room. And as you stare, if you go in the prayer room and as you stare at this beautiful piece of art and kneel at the prayer rail, listen closely. Do you hear him knocking? And if you do, for goodness sakes, open the door and let him in. Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you continually try to get our attention and that you want more for us than a lukewarm life. Help us to listen. Help us to hear. And help us to act as you get our attention so that we might have that abundant life you've called us to in discipleship. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
If you have a prayer need in your life or would like to unite with First United Methodist Church, either by transfer of membership or profession of faith, I'll be available after the service to speak with you. You are invited back next week as we move on through our March Madness. It's the final two, and we'll get to vote to see who wins, and that will be announced on Easter. Also, we will continue our sermon series, Word Through the Windows, by looking at our next window, which will happen to be Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, which is in the back of the sanctuary on the Chestnut Street side. Now receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in peace. Amen.